All right, we're back. This is the Republic Broadcasting Network, your program In the Zone, and host Eric Schein. And we have on the line April Gallup, and we're going to be bringing up the Rabbi Yisrael David Weiss here in a few minutes. And his he's the head of Orthodox Jewish group called Neturei Karta, and I'm hopefully I'm pronouncing that right, and I'm sure the rabbi will correct me if I haven't. We'll share why the roots of the Middle East conflict and the war on terror is due to a corrupt non-Jewish ideology called Zionism. And he appears to be, I believe, an ascetic Jew from his picture. And I can't tell, and he'll be able to get into that a little bit himself. But it's www.nkuse.org. And he'll be on the show here in a few moments. But April, back to you real quick. If you could tell us a little bit about what's happened to you since you've tried to stand your ground and speak the truth.
Soon after, they made particular type of errors regarding my pay, saying that I had owed the Department of Defense a certain amount of money, and they didn't tell me until well after the fact. And
storing your stroller for you for so long?
And then, and because of that, then that means you're not entitled to use your benefits. Indebtedness was created that should not have been created because I properly out-processed, and they made a mistake, and it's now taking them years for them to correct their mistake. And in the meantime, they don't fix their mistakes while you're appealing.
So you're no longer in the military.
Exactly.
No.
So I'm still appealing a number of things.
Have you already gotten an honorable discharge?
Yes, I did. That was successful. And I'm still waiting for my soldier's medal that they presented to me to come. But what was most riveting was there was a Pentagon.
Well, you got a medal for actually for being there at the Pentagon when it happened?
I got the Purple Heart, and for my acts of heroism for helping people while inside the Pentagon, They had a ceremony where I was supposed to be receiving the soldier's medal. But by the time I was medically released, they still had not gotten me the actual certificate. Even though the Secretary of the Army at that time had made a separate ceremony to have it presented for it to me, and they still haven't gotten that to me. But what was most riveting was they developed the Pentagon Victims Fund, what was supposedly have been providing assistance to actually Pentagon victims. The Army Emergency Relief was given oversight, over this fund, and they diverted the money to go to other things as opposed to the actual Pentagon victims, and as of this day, the Armed Service Committee still has not investigated that fraud.
Well, they figure buying more bullets would actually help you because then we'll be able to better protect the United States somehow, right?
Well, the issue was in the media they paint themselves as being so concerned about the victims, and they were more concerned about rebuilding that building as opposed to rebuilding people's lives. And again, we didn't have that many people. Not that the number is the issue, but there is no reason why anyone from the attack on the Pentagon, should still have outstanding issues
grievances
or outstanding needs if they really was the support as they claim, in the media. And I'm going to tell you, they've been less than supportive. And as a matter of fact, it's been nothing but writing letters, appeals, phone calls, since that event.
They want to exhaust you administratively, so you'll just give up and walk away.
So you could just give up, and you would, because you're still trying to wrap your head around that particular event, and then you watch how you're actually being treated, and then you have to look at on TV how they're portraying, the whole thing. And I'm like, again, they still have yet to investigate, the Pentagon Victims Fund, and it has been brought to the Armed Service Committee attention how they developed all these funds for the Pentagon victims, and yet this committee, who didn't fundraise for the money, this was money generated by the goodwill of American people,
was so
easily diverted without them even talking to the Pentagon victims or assessing their needs.
Right. Did you see anything from that fund?
No, actually I didn't. I was actually told that I was not eligible as a September 11 victim, although both myself and child was inside the building that day, and it was verified, and we had to submit numerous pieces of documents. And
you hear the music. Let me cut you off there. Sorry about that, April. We'll be right back.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
We're back to the Republic Broadcasting Network, your program in the zone. Host Eric Schein with April Galvin. April, sorry for cutting you off there. The music comes up. We got just a few seconds to wrap up before the commercial jumps in on top of us, so I apologize. Real quick, and you can continue with the thought that you were on, but I wanted to also ask you, there's been information out in various alternative media and even in corporate media as to the renovations that were done to that wing, putting in bomb or blast-proof windows, reinforcing the outer ring, the outer wall, some of the other things that went on in your administrative duties and also where you were situated. Did you see any of this construction or anything going on? Are you aware of any of this, or will you be speaking about this at the conference?
Are you talking about while I was there?
Well, yeah, because it kind of led up. It happened over the year before, 9/11. Supposedly the walls were reinforced, they put in blast-proof windows, and it only happened on this wing of the Pentagon and none of the others. It was actually where the plane or whatever missile or, drone hit it, Global Hawk, whatever, hit the Pentagon. It was only this wing that was actually reinforced.
I guess what I'm going to say about that, if I sound like I'm laughing, I really don't, mean it in a mocking or any type of joking way, and for many reasons I had to go throughout the Pentagon, and it, if that type of renovation was going on a year prior, they were doing some really stealth work, I mean, you know, because you have to go in and out and through, you know, through that building. And, you know, if they said they were doing it, maybe they were doing it after hours and before hours, you know. But that place goes, you know, around the clock. So, again, I wasn't aware, you know, of that level of work going on in that, you know, particular wing. But now, again,
so you never saw any contracts to that effect or actual, you know, windows being taken out and replaced or anything, or?
I didn't. But, you know, maybe somebody else did.
That was one of the things that came out. Sorry.
You know, I didn't. Maybe somebody else did. And we just don't know anything about that person.
Right.
You know, I mean,
that was one of the rumors that had come out initially, that supposedly there was a federal contract that was let and there was work done to only that wing of the Pentagon, and whether it's true or not.
Well, you know, I say this. I pose the question. If that was true, that's not classified information, then reveal it to the public. Make it available for someone to look at. That's not classified information. If, in fact, they did have this particular thing done, then
well,
release
parts
it.
Of it might be classified as to the materials and how they did and stuff, but actual doing it isn't classified.
Exactly. So, you know, then reveal it. Again, I didn't see anything, and maybe, you know, I wasn't supposed to, and maybe there is someone that exists who actually was aware of it, but, again, I'm not one of those people.
Can you tell us anything about what you're going to divulge at the conference about what you saw?
Yes, exactly. I'm going to talk about what I saw while we were going, you know, while people were falling in between the floors. I'm going to talk what I saw, you know, before getting to the hole and after, while I was on the lawn before someone helped us get to the hospital.
Well, and you were also told you didn't think from what you experienced that it was an actual plane until
I didn't.
I will
say that there, you know, is a myth going on by Jim Mars, who portrays a portion of my story that I talked about the Men in Black. You know, I never communicated
that.
You know, I did too. I never communicated that to him. I did ask him to retract his misrepresentation of my words. But it never happened. And, you know, I guess whatever to promote whatever he was trying to do. But that was a misconception. And if you're military, you know that they send each representative from the military, casualty affairs generally, to find the, you know, their people to get them to the proper, you know, military hospitals. I never communicated
right.
that it was actually, you know, Men in Black. But, you know, I will go in details, you know, what I saw immediately after, what I saw as I was getting to the hole and what I saw while I was on the lawn with someone trying to help me get to the hospital. And it's already public information, but what was accurate about what he said was, from the inside, I would have never have come to the conclusion that that was a plane.
From the grass or anything that you saw on the outside.
Or even being on the outside on the grass. Like I said, I didn't make it on the helicopter, nor did I make it on any of the ambulances. We were just pretty much forgotten, and there was a good Samaritan who saw us there, who came, you know, and tried to stop many cars to try to help us get to the hospital. So I did have some time. I was allowed to, you know, I did come back to you on the grass, and I was on the grass for some time before, you know, someone got me to, you know, a hospital. And I would never have come to the conclusion, based off what I saw, that it was a plane.
And it's not
and
like
that
you're
is
ignorant.
Public information.
Well, and it's not like you're ignorant either of or have not been trained or around various things in the military and have actually seen pictures and documentation and, you know, previous accidents, whether they be FAA or NTSB or DOD or anything else, that you can pretty much surmise from your own personal experience, although it may not be as an engineer or anything like that, you can tell what it should have looked like had it been a plane.
Exactly. And based
and
off what
that was not what
there.
You saw.
And no, and I tell people that, you know, people make a gesture, you know, at the fact that I am a trauma survivor and try to discredit the fact, you know, of the magnitude of the traumatic event. But these are things, these are visual pictures that you do not forget. do not forget these things.
Yeah,
these
they're are so deep embedded in because of what happened,
will,
right?
Exactly. You will never forget. And, you know, surely I would know if I stumbled over a plane seat or if I stumbled over a piece of metal, you know, of a certain magnitude or, you know, or just there's just particular things, you know, I would have been able to.
Do you ever have,
since
it happened and, you know, since all this stuff has gone on and retaliations and more ever since, do you ever have epiphanies to where you're thinking about what happened and seeing things visually and all of a sudden you realize something, you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe I didn't realize that that's what was going on.
I wouldn't say epiphanies. It would be certain things that would trigger my memory. Like, you know, at the time, my son was crying, and when he'd stop, that's what motivated me to come from under the debris. So afterwards, if he cried a certain way and I would believe the cry, like, in that building, that would trigger a memory. And it's so clear and vivid. It's not, you know, something that you would forget. You just, it's
right.
Not some event that you experience where, you know, it goes away. For example, I mean, this might seem very small, but, you know, when I was younger, I stepped on a piece of glass. But the thing about the glass is it went through my foot.
Ow.
You know, and I'm older now, and I still remember that event, exactly how it happened, how painful that glass was. I've never forgotten. And this is just
right.
One of those events. You know, in spite of how traumatizing it is, and I keep it real, I would be lying to you if I would sit here and say, you know, just emotionally I am completely, you know, healed. That would not be the truth. But I will say, you know, my visualization of how it was on the inside that particular day and what I saw on the lawn is very vivid, you know, and it's very clear. And the conspiracy is not into what I saw. The conspiracy is how, you know, things were handled and how they were not handled, you know, on that particular day.
Well, what you saw, too. I mean, because it wasn't what they've been saying.
Exactly. But you also have to look at, you know, this was carefully orchestrated because I was not the only injured survivor, but
yeah.
Many of us statements were not taken during the 9/11 commission, you know, and you really have to take a look and, you know, take into account those things.
Well, but when you add all that up, though, you start to realize that this was not orchestrated from outside, that there had to be people within corporations, within the government, and other places of, you know, power and authority that were involved in allowing, not just allowing, but actually creating and orchestrating what happened.
And I think that's a rational conclusion. And I would tell people to think about this. The Pentagon is known historically for being, this is public information, as one of the most safest and secure buildings in the United States of America.
But it's like a castle.
What? Exactly. What's the probability now? What is the probability and what is the likelihood of every safety and secure mechanism not functioning on one particular day?
Well, there's a missile
defense
system for the Pentagon, isn't there? They also have the in-close weapon systems, the Gatling guns.
Okay. These are things that are public knowledge. You know, these are
right.
things that the public know. So what is the likelihood that on one particular day, according to this footage that was recently released, what, last year, where it showed supposedly the plane had bounced off the helipad and into the building, what is the probability of every security mechanism not working on a particular day? And what is the answer to that? See,
the analogy would be drawn. The analogy would be drawn to, like, a bank. With, you know, on some day, the bank doors were left open, the alarm's off, the power off, the vault was open, the money laid out, no employees, no police, and people just went in and took the money. Oh, my God, how did that ever happen?
And, you know, and as working there, I'm going to tell you, when you have to transport documents and go around that maze and that puzzle, you know, you're often disturbed by the fact that every time you look, there was some kind of drill, there was some kind of exercise frequently going on, you know, at that particular building, and here on one particular day, nothing was functioning. What is the probability of that?
Well, after, did you notice any difference between, and one thing I want to throw out real quick, too, is they've come out with this second image of the plane or whatever supposedly blowing up when it hit the side of the Pentagon. When you look at that picture from that other angle, at least when I see it, I see the explosion and flames from a cruise missile and not a plane. But we'll be right back. This is the Republic Broadcast Network, your program In the Zone. Host Eric Schein will be right back with April Gallup and hopefully the Rabbi White.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
is Republic Broadcasting Network, your program in the zone, host Eric Schein. And we have on April Gallup. And April, I'm going to go ahead and bring on the Rabbi Yisrael David Weiss. But I want to give you a chance. I want to keep you on. And maybe the rabbi has some words of encouragement for you. But hopefully you can also chime in, too. But I want to give him a chance to speak and have his say. But do you have anything you want to say real quick before I pass it on to him and keep you on the line?
I want to give out a challenge to your mathematicians and your analytical audience to give me what is the probability of the likelihood of nothing working or nothing functioning on that particular day to try to
infinite to one
that likelihood and to bring it to the conference in March. That's my challenge.
Well, and to bring some support and help, and you know, even moral support goes a long way, words of courage and letters and stuff. So and they can pass on any words of wisdom or encouragement to you through payment at www.livefreenow.org. They will make sure that they get it passed on to you so that you don't have to divulge any personal information. But hold on the line real quick, and let's go ahead and bring the Rabbi Weiss on the air. Rabbi, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you for taking me on your program. It's a privilege.
Can you tell me how to pronounce your, is it Yisrael?
Yisrael David Weiss.
Okay, I wasn't too far off.
Yeah, you did well. Yes.
Well, again, welcome, and please tell us what you're going to be speaking about at the conference and what you're all about, your background. And I spoke a little bit, gave the little blurb that's in the flyer, which is you're the head of the Orthodox Jewish group. And if you could pronounce that, the Neturei Karta?
Neturei Karta, Jews United Against Zionism. It's an Aramaic. Neturei means the protectors, Karta of the city. It was a name that was given to the people who were vocal against the influx of Zionism into Palestine in the 1930s. Let's take it in a nutshell. First, I pray to God that he should bestow upon me his wisdom and that I should be able to convey his truth to all your listeners, and we should be able to sanctify his name. I mean, it's simply in a very concise, Judaism is a religion of thousands of years. It's a spirituality, to serve God. And Zionism is a mere around 100 years old, a transformation from this spirituality into a materialism, a nationalistic goal to have to be a nation amongst nations, with the goal to have a piece of land, a military, and everything that's necessary to go along with this materialism. And it's in actuality void of godliness. They may allow the practice of religion because that's part of a nationality today, a democracy, but it, in its essence, Zionism is totally diametric opposite of Judaism. It's antithetical to Judaism because it's not the practice of a religion. And it's really just basically it was made, created by people who are non-religious, Theodor Herzl, and the cohorts, people who were Jews who were estranged from Judaism and really detested Judaism. They wrote about that many times, and they simply wanted to uproot the practice of Judaism. As I say, the second issue was that they had to have a land, and they decided to go to Palestine because that was for convenience. They really were thinking of other places, Uganda and other plans, but they, in the beginning, this was at the end of the 19th century, they decided to go to Palestine in order to be able to get the backing of the Jews and the non-Jews, because the Jewish people, in the religious aspect, is that we believe we made a bond with God on Mount Sinai a few thousand years ago to uphold the teachings of the Torah, and we are bound strictly by that. God took us into the land of Canaan, Palestine, and he made it with us he stipulated that we will be sent into exile if we will not be on the high level of that we are required. And that happened. And since then, we are forbidden to... we're getting cut off now?
Yeah, that's the music coming up. Hold on.
Yes, okay.
We got a commercial break. We'll be right back, Rabbi. This is Republic Broadcasting Network, your program in the zone. Host Eric Schein with Rabbi Yisrael David Weiss and also April Gallup in the green room. Holding on. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called Wrist Ease, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. Wrist Ease comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, Wrist Ease is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. Wrist Ease is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. Wrist Ease provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order Wrist Ease now at wristease.com. That's Wrist Ease, WRISTEASE, wristease.com. Once again, that's Wrist Ease, WRISTEASE.com.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
All right, we're back to the Republic Broadcasting Network, your program In the Zone, host Eric Schein, and we have on the Rabbi Weiss. And Rabbi, real quick, I want to mention, too, because a lot of people have gotten slammed for, you know, I was born and raised Roman Catholic and, you know, went to Catholic grade school and high school, and Christianity is basically an offshoot. I know, thanks, I went to a military academy, too. But Christianity is an offshoot of Judaism. I mean, Christ was Jewish. And at some point, rather than finding common ground, a lot of people, especially if you're quote-unquote not Jewish, you can't speak of these issues or speak of or against Israel, or at least the, you know, that portion of Israel, the Zionists who are... And if you could kind of speak on that, of how it's a, you know...
Right. What we're saying is simply we were... we were sent into land and stipulated that if we are not on the level of holiness, we will have to leave. The land will reject us, just as it had the Canaanites who served idol worship. And that's what happened. And when we were with the destruction of the temple, which the prophets Jeremiah, Ezekiel all speak about it very, very extensively, God gave stipulated with us three. We were put under three oaths: one, that we are forbidden to return en masse to the land in exile. Secondly, we are forbidden to rebel against any nation. We have to be loyal citizens in every land we're residing. And thirdly, we're forbidden to make any attempt to end exile. We have to wait, as a Jewish person, as a religious person, we have to wait patiently till the day comes when God will make a metaphysical change on the world, where all humanity will recognize the one God and serve him in peace, like by the UN on the wall across from the UN. It's called the Isaiah Wall. It says that they will beat the swords into plowshares, and one nation will not pick up a sword against another nation, and the wolf will reign with the sheep. That is what a Jewish person, as a religious person, waits. Any attempt to return and make our own state is simply a rebellion against God, and it's refutal that God is with us in exile and was worrying about us and protecting us. That is, so in other words, as a Jewish person, we are forbidden to return and create a state, even if it would have been in an uninhabited land. It's compounded the terrible sin of creating the state of Israel. The Zionist philosophy, which is creating the state of Israel, is making it in Palestine, where there were people living there, the Palestinian people. So we are oppressing them, banishing them from the land, taking away their self-rule. So it says in the Torah, "Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal." So all they're doing is, in other words, the whole issue of Zionism, which is to have our own land, the state, is really a rebellion, and against God, it's blasphemy. And the rabbinical authorities universally were opposed to this, and in all of its concepts, and it oppresses Jews, which is a whole different story. Even today, they're digging up graves today to create a highway, and Jews are being arrested and beaten today. As we're speaking, you can see it on our site, www.nkusa.org, N as in Nancy, nkusa.org, and you can see what's going on. It's unbelievable, and it's not coming. And all, so what Zionism went, and they said they're making their state in Palestine. Why? Because, as I said, they wanted to ensnare the Jewish people to believe that they're doing God's will, because they counted on the ignorance of the masses. That in the Torah it says God gave the Jews the land of Israel, and they knew people will not know the small lettering, you know, the details,
right,
that it was taken. And so, and also the evangelist Christians, for instance, you know, many of the other people who also believe, you know, in the Torah, in the godly, you know, the Old Testament, they're going to all say, oh, the Jews really should get the land. And then you'll add to that the Holocaust that Jews suffered, and people have feel guilty they didn't help them, and people have pity, as human beings have pity, you know, sympathy for people who suffered. So they say the Jewish people should get that land. After all, it was their land. And they simply don't know the fact that according to the strict Jewish law that it's upheld universally by rabbinical authorities, that this concept is a no-no. It's forbidden for us to take the land. It belongs to the Palestinian people today, and we must reside under their rule, as we have been doing for hundreds of years on the Muslim countries. Sometimes it wasn't perfect, but it was never a religious conflict. We were always able to exist. In fact, usually we fared much better under Muslim rule. Now,
right. Now,
getting to your point of being accused, the Zionists that have a win-win situation, they knew that they used this ploy that they waived the Bible to legitimize their state. And they threaten everybody, intimidate everybody, that if you speak up against them and saying, you know, the Zionism is a flawed political movement, they'll probably say you're an anti-Semite, even though it's really nothing to do with...
Well, they align you to Hitler and whatever happened in Nazi Germany, and that you want to do away with the Jews somehow, and that...
And that's totally false. It's evil, and it has nothing to do with the truth. And if somebody would just give an opportunity for the real Judaism that existed in Palestine and around the world, the real rabbinical authority, instead of with the, buying into the line of Zionist propaganda and their power over the media, then you would realize there's a very large community. Let's say even here in New York, we have hundreds of thousands. You have a whole right outside of Manhattan, it's called Williamsburg, and many other places, that they're all anti-Zionist. They're Jewish, very strictly religious, and we're all anti-Zionist because this is the essence of Judaism.
Well, and that's one thing that's important, too, not only in the civil rights movement, but, you know, throughout history, is that some very brilliant minds, I don't know how to put that, from the Jewish ancestry, or how would you coin that? Would it be from Jewish ancestry? That they've come out and not just for their own people, but fighting for the rule of law, and within, in keeping with the spirit of law, for all men, not just Jews.
Yeah, you are right. I mean, first of all, the whole concept of military even we would have to do with an enemy of the Jews, so-called enemy, Jewish people are required, being that we're in exile, not to go up. Even if we have a real true enemy, let's just say Hitler, our approach has to be of placating, appeasing, trying to approach them. Zionist is never again, you know, militant, and that concept is wrong, like everything else of Zionism. And as you say, the Jewish people are told in the Torah that we have to emulate God. Just as God is compassionate, we must be compassionate, to be charitable, do good deeds. And the Jewish people, I believe if you would follow history, like you say, you would find that they were constantly involved in humanitarian and good work. And, you know, so it's just, this is an aberration. This concept of Zionism is unfortunately something onto Judaism and really sullying the name of Judaism. It's the greatest factory of exacerbating anti-Semitism throughout the world. And it's really nothing to do with Judaism.
Can you throw out, and this is kind of a curveball because I'm not sure if you have any... you're a very learned man, and you probably have some knowledge on this, but how Washington, D.C. is set up within the United States as this basically autonomous district, much like Rome, you know, much like the Vatican is in Rome or Italy, it from what I know and understand is now they're trying to set up the same type of nation within a nation within Jerusalem, from what I understand. Do you know anything about that, or...?
You mean that the ones that are trying to like rebuild the temple of that concept? Or
well, I guess that would be to effect, and you know, Rothschild supposedly is behind some of that, and I think the new—I don't know if it's the Supreme Court building that they just built in the last 10 years or so, or finished in the last 10 years, and
you know, a similar thought. Just is very interesting that you mention because in 1947, the chief rabbi of Jerusalem. Now, nothing to do with the rabbinate or chief rabbi of Israel, because we consider that a farce. But there was a very elite and a rabbinical court that was called the Eid HaRed, the God-fearing community. It still exists today. And the chief rabbi at that time was Rabbi Dushinsky of blessed memory. And again, you can see it on our site, this letter at the www.nkusa.org. His name was J.Z. Dushinsky, and he wrote a letter to the Secretary General of the United Nations in 1947. What happened was a delegation of the United Nations had come up and was feeling out the community, you know, the Muslim, the Christian, and the Jewish community, if they want this Jewish state. And there's rabbis alive today who witnessed this, that they said that they didn't want it because it's not really Jewish. And it's only the Zionist movement in Europe that is pushing for it, and it's not the will of the people. Now, when they saw that it's imminent, that being ignored, they're going to create a state. So in November 18, 1947, he fired off a letter to the Secretary General of the United Nations, this Rabbi Dushinsky, and he wrote in two paragraphs, he wrote, "The Jewish Orthodox community of Jerusalem, the Eid HaRedis, that means God-fearing community, comprising 60,000 souls, objects to the plea of including Jerusalem in the Jewish state and or its residents becoming automatically citizens of the Jewish state. Our community demands that Jerusalem be an international zone under your protection with full autonomy and its residents be free citizens of the international zone of Jerusalem. We beg of you not to take any action before receiving our memorandum." And he signs with Chief Rabbi J.Z. Dushinsky. In other words, he says, so that they're being ignored, they're going to create a state. So he said, at least our center is in Jerusalem. Leave us with Jerusalem, should remain an international place, not, you know, shouldn't be swallowed up in this so-called, you know.
Well, what happened to that letter? Or was it responded to? Or?
And there was no response. It's in document number A-AC-14-44 in the United Nations documents, and no response because, unfortunately, it's so ironic, but the state of Israel was created against the will of the community that was there for hundreds of years, the Orthodox Jewish community that was witnessed by there's other letters that there was 95% was of the Jewish community was Orthodox in the 1920s still, and of course it wasn't the will of the Christians or the Muslims. So that's just the terrible tragedy that of this creation of this political movement, and they usurped the name of Judaism. They had this powerful, because they have so much money that they infused in public relations. They have AIPAC here in the United States.
And you don't agree with AIPAC's mission or what they're up to, of course.
No, AIPAC is just simply the club Like the stick of Zionism that intimidates every politician, that everybody has to bow on, bring a sacrifice on the altar of Zionism, to show that there is support of this state of Israel, or else they'll never win an election. And
well, I guess to go back to even thieves in the temple and Dr. Egelishin and even G. Edward Griffin and something that Aaron Russo's come out with, America, Freedom to Fascism, and what Christ and even Moses fought against, when Moses supposedly came down from the Temple Mount or
Mount Sinai.
Right, Mount Sinai, and had the tablets in hand and threw them down. They were, worshiping idols, golden calves. They were worshiping gold, money, material things. And many of these people, no matter where they hide themselves, because even Saddam Hussein was kneeling on a rug and praying to who he believed was God. And Bush is supposedly a Christian. These people don't worship. They don't believe in, quote unquote, any higher power or higher authority. They worship money. I mean, gold. Yeah. And,
one of the concepts of Judaism is, the different points that you brought, each one is individually has to be really addressed. But basically, we believe that, it was the Erev Rav, it was called a certain segment of the Judaism that were impatient. They didn't see Moses coming, so they wanted to have some like conduit to God, and they made this golden calf. It's a whole long story, but the fact is, that the thought that you're saying that it's because it was gold. In other words, it's a concept to think about. But the issue was that they strayed. They were impatient. Just as the Zionist concept, one of the concepts is that they decided they called themselves the beginning of redemption. Instead of being patient and waiting for God to redeem us, we all humanity will serve God. They said, oh, we're suffering, and God forgot about the Jewish people. We have to make our own state. So it's blasphemy, and it's the issue of being impatient and taking matters into their own hands, which is very similar to the issue what the Erev Rav made the golden calf. In other words, they saw Moses is not here yet to lead them because he went up 40 days on the Mount Sinai and he hadn't returned. So they decided, that we have to have a way of coming to speak to God, and they made this idol worshipery. But anyway, and getting to the other issue that you spoke about, President Bush, as a Jewish person, one of the issues I said, the Jew has, is forbidden to rebel against any nation, and one of the requirements is that we have to be, loyal citizens in every country we're residing. So
meaning that you follow the rule of law and most importantly the spirit of the law. Because
right.
Even if the Patriot Act is passed and it's not in keeping with the Constitution, then you would do everything and anything to have the Patriot Act rescinded.
So that's the point in other words, the point that you're bringing is that we have to be, to practice, to serve God and so forth, and we require to be respectful to leadership. It's a little bit different because we're Jews that we have the Torah requires us to be not like that being politically, it's sort of politically involved. What we have to do is uphold the Torah and, stress and say what's, moral and what's required, morality and such things, and like the state of Israel is totally wrong and things like that. So when, we as the Jewish people address the president, we're very careful and respectfully, even like Moses went to Pharaoh, for instance, he approached him with respect and spoke to him. So that's our Jewish approach. And that's what we said, even by Hitler, mind you. I mean, I'm not comparing, God forbid, our president.
But that's also very sage and wise, because if you want to change things, you don't just confront head on and put yourself as a brash individual who's going to stand against a king or president or,
and it's
usurper.
By, yeah.
That,
right.
That at some point you need to be humble.
Right, and we know that being that God is the ultimate ruler, he tells us that if you follow his plan, even though in your, maybe in your, according to your logic, maybe some other way would work, but God tells us if you will follow him, it will work. That's why, for instance, the approach by World War II, there was a reform, Stephen Wise, he was a reform rabbi in New York, and he, they call themselves rabbi, we consider it like a farce, just like Zionism is a farce. The concept of reform, Judaism means they're going to reform God's Torah. I mean, that's ridiculous. So the whole concept of reform Judaism we don't accept. But anyway, he went and he boycotted Hitler, and the Orthodox rabbis were totally in opposition to this. They said, the Torah tells us that we are in exile. We must try to placate, appease, and approach through dialogue. And unfortunately, they said that being that they made these boycotts and things like that, they just incited Hitler to really say, and he said that I'm going to take up the challenge of the Jews. So this approach cannot be successful. And Zionism, we believe that's why you will find that over 50 years they've tried the hawks and the doves and all their approaches, and nothing has brought peace. It's a constant river of a never-ending bloodshed, and we believe it's because they're going against God's will.
Well, real quick, too, I want to throw up, because from things that I see from a convergence of events, for want of a better way of putting it, is that I see things that Bush is attacking the Arab and Muslim states and nations to literally draw them together against Israel. And if you think of like Genghis Khan or Attila the Hun and others, they understood that to attack their own people, they could draw them together and marshal the troops. We'll get back into that right after the break, real quick. This is the Republic Broadcasting Network, your program In the Zone, host Eric Schein, with Rabbi Weiss and April Gallup pitching the Justice and Freedom Conference. We'll be right back.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and, of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
All right, we're back. This is the Republic Broadcasting Network, your program In the Zone, with host Eric Schein, and with Rabbi Weiss and also April Gallup. And real quick, and I'm going to probably have to have Rabbi Weiss close out the program and pitch the conference, But real quick, let me throw this out in that effort. Is I feel that Bush is, you know, he's holding hands with the crown princes of Saudi Arabia and other countries. He's drawing, he's acting as if those people are his own. He's attacking these countries to draw them together, much like, you know, it's a military strategy that's been around for thousands of years. And that, to some extent, he's drawing the Arab and Muslim nations together to bring about this, war of civilizations and war of religions, and to, you know, I guess through conflict, bring everything under one world government, one world religion, and not in a beneficial or benevolent fashion, but under a dictatorial fashion. But also as to false temples, to false gods, and the Templars, and those who would use these programs, like the Templars, and even the, you know, the money masters, the bankers, international bankers, and more, who would pool all our resources in one place so that they could steal them. But I also wanted to, real quick, was throughout the, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Avneri and Gush Shalom, and also Mordecai Vanunu. And then if you could just, you got 4 minutes or so, you hear the music coming up, that's the end of the program. I thank April, and if you can have a couple quick comments and maybe even prayer for April when you get a chance and people like her. But go ahead, Rabbi, it's all yours.
Okay. First, with God's help, like this, our prayer is constantly, we urge people that they should pray for the speedy and peaceful dismantlement of these, the state of Israel, the Zionist state, because it has nothing to do with Judaism and the Jewish people, and it's just bringing it's really bringing a stain to Judaism. It's a desecration of God's name, and it's unfortunately oppressing the Palestinian people.
Rabbi, if yes. I could, real quick, could you tell the people, just so they know, you're an Orthodox Jew, you're an Orthodox rabbi?
We are very strictly Orthodox, and anybody can look at our site, www.nkusa.org, see our demonstrations of tens of thousands of people and sometimes hundreds of thousands, whether it would be in Jerusalem or New York. We are people who never strayed from the teachings of the Torah. We are strictly abiding by that, and that's very important to note, that we are the ones who are upholding what was given to us at Mount Sinai. And we urge Muslim people to always be careful. Don't get ensnared that you should be able to be attacked as anti-Semitic. Call it what it is. Call it a Zionist state, the state of Israel. Don't refer it as the Jewish people or the Jewish state, because then right away you've fallen into the trap that the Zionists can say, oh, you're anti-Semitic. Be clear.
Yeah, but you know, Rabbi, that Semite or Shemite includes the Arab and Muslim nations.
That is correct. That is correct. But unfortunately,
so if you're anti-Semite, you're anti-Middle East.
But unfortunately,
entirely.
They use that, you know, for their purposes. And we hope at the conference, with God's help, that, you know, we should be able to expand a little bit to give people more knowledge. And it should be, in other words, the people should be confident when they're standing up to Zionism. If we can get the grassroots, the people, to be able to understand that this is not a religious conflict, it's a conflict against, we have to stand up against an evil, flawed political movement that has nothing to do with godliness, then if this movement will force the politicians, just like against the apartheid in South Africa, people understood black and white, this is wrong, it's racist, so they should understand Zionism is a evil against God, and it's unfortunately causing the root cause of all the suffering and bloodshed that is ongoing for over 60 years, almost 100 years. And if you can't put a Band-Aid and patch a hemorrhaging wound. You have to know what the root cause is, and it is Zionism, the state of Israel. We urge Muslim and Jewish people to record the history of how we've been living together for hundreds of years in Muslim countries in peace. And let it be recorded, so we should be able to refute what the Zionist wants to portray the history as if there's a religious conflict.
Cool. Peace, Rabbi. Yeah. I thank you for being on the program. And again, pray for myself and all the people of the world, and also April and others who are out there fighting this beast.
Yeah, God bless and much success in your good endeavors.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That's the program, people. This is the Republic Broadcasting Network, your program In the Zone. Host Eric Schein, and that was Rabbi Weiss. And we also